Well, today we're going to talk about a war that is being waged, and that war is a war with worry. Anybody ever have worries? Worries happen sometimes. In fact, our bulletin is real appropriate this week. If you look at the cover, it has the old hymn, "I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow and I know He watches me." Awesome, that Jesus is watching out for us. So today we're going to talk about worry, and this will be part 11 of our series, verse 6 through 9, of Joy That Lasts. Focus, or control your focus, the battle against anxiety. Control your focus, the battle against anxiety. If you remember from Philippians 4, verse 5, the last part of that says, "Remember, the Lord is coming soon." Listen, Jesus is coming back. Maybe a great foundation to lay down before we get into the actual text today is to realize that Jesus is still in control, isn't He? He's in control. He's coming back. With that in mind, we know that we're going to be okay. That ultimately, whatever is your biggest problem right now in life, it will not always be your biggest problem. Because there will be a resolution. Things are only temporary, remember? Our problems are only temporary. Even if they feel like they're forever, they're only temporary. Now, some quotes I want to share. "A day of worry is more exhausting than a day of work." Sir John Lubbock said that. Look at when he was born. 1834 through 19-something. Did you know they even had worry back then? Right? We're thinking worry's a new thing. They had so much worry back then that he even said a day of worry is more exhausting than a day of work. Isn't that true? That's very true. For one that big misfortune slay, 10 die of little worries. Wow. Do you get that? For every one person who actually dies by that big problem, whatever that is, there's 10 people who die from the ulcers thinking about maybe they're going to get that problem. Worry is the interest paid on trouble before it falls due. Well, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to get into Philippians 4, verse 6. We're continuing on with the series. Listen, the Word of God, we believe, is our all authoritative rule for faith and conduct. All authoritative, all authority is given to the Word, so it has all authority in our lives, right? It is our rule. It is literally the ruler that we use to compare our lives against for faith and conduct. What to believe and what to do, right? What to believe about God and life and how we should live our lives. Now today, to be honest with you, when I'm preaching on worry, I've had a crazy past few weeks, to be honest with you. And I'm not preaching this message on worry from the place of not having a care in the world. Okay? So if you're thinking, well, this sounds good, but you don't know my worries. You're right, I don't know your worries, but I know what worry's like. Okay? I know what it's like to be in a place where you're just tempted to worry over everything. Just where I am in my life right now, it's not the easiest place to preach on worry. Nonetheless, this message is timely for me. It may be timely for you today. And the Bible really tells us how to live our lives. It really does help us. It really does give us instruction that's really relevant. You know? It really is. So let's look at this and let's be open to what God has to speak into my life and into your life today to help us through this time of worry. How big of a problem is worry? Anybody? It's huge. In fact, I believe the statistic was around the year 2000 when they took a guess on how many, or they took a survey rather, on how many people were on prescription drugs for panic and worry and those kind of things and anxiety. And it was just, I think it was like 40%, one survey said, of Americans were on anti-anxiety drugs. This sounds a little high to me. But still, it was a crazy amount. Now, do we all need anti-anxiety drugs? No. Do some people? Yeah, probably some people can. I'm not saying that those drugs are wrong. But what I'm saying is if everybody's on those drugs, there's a problem. You know, sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. Sometimes you need medication. Medication is good. But on the other hand, sometimes we just need Jesus. And sometimes we need to deal with our problems and our anxiety in a positive way and look to the Word. Not everybody needs anti-anxiety drugs. It's almost like, if I can say, not every child needs Ritalin or something like that. Some of them just need discipline. Winning the war against anxiety in three not so easy steps, okay? Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. We're going to read these, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Jesus, help us. Lord, no matter how hard we want to kick against your word today, and no matter how hard the enemy wants to sit on our shoulder and say, this isn't true, this isn't valid, this is too easy, Lord, we know your word is true, and we know your word changes lives, and we pray very humbly today that you would change all of our lives. In Christ's name. Amen. Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Number one on your sheet is kill your worry. We need to kill our worry. Step one is what? Kill your worry. Three not so easy steps. This one's important though. How do we do that? The first thing, don't worry about anything. We're done, right? Let's close in prayer and go. Stop it. Stop worrying. Okay. Good enough. But listen, seriously, don't worry about anything. Worry gives small things big shadows. Right? Worry will give small things in your life big shadows. Were you ever afraid of the shadow? Right? As a little kid in your bedroom, there's a light hitting a toy on your dresser, and on the other side of the wall, it looks like this big monster coming to get you. We still do that as adults. We can be worried. So many people are so worried every time they watch the news, they almost think the sky is falling, right? Constantly. George MacDonald said this, no man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burdens is added to that burden of today that the weight is no more than you can bear. Never load yourself so. Did you get that? Nobody ever sank under the burdens of today. It's only when we add on the burdens for tomorrow. Get it? We start thinking about tomorrow. In fact, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Don't worry what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. For tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Worry about today. It's the words of our Master, right? Does that mean we should never plan? No, there's a difference between planning and worrying, isn't there? There's a difference between planning and worrying. Paul said, don't worry about what? Anything. So what are we allowed to worry about? Right? I heard somebody laugh over that. Not right? But isn't that, don't worry about what? Anything. Well, if you look up the Greek word, it's an interesting thing, actually. It really means, don't worry about anything. It's kind of odd. The Greek word really means don't worry about anything. Instead, he says, pray about everything. Instead, pray about everything. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Some of you need this t-shirt. Why pray when you can worry? Hey, good things, right? In fact, it should be, why worry when you can pray? When we can pray. Again, we know this in our mind, but again, my definition of joy that changes lives. Joy is the inward peace that we get when our head knowledge of who God is somehow sinks into our heart. Because in our heads we know God is all powerful. God is everywhere at the same time, right? We know that. So God can be helping Brother Goldschmidt in Scotland, but God can also be helping me here. God is all-powerful. He can do anything He wants. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows my needs better than I do. And sometimes we can think that here, and in our hearts we're screaming, God, where are you? Right? We're screaming, I'm alone. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's what we're screaming within our heart. And listen, we have to somehow realize Jesus knows. And get it within our heart, right? Do you hear me? Because that's what real theology is when we get into the Word of God, we start to understand who God is, and somehow it trickles down. We start dwelling upon who God is. And we go, God is good. And then somehow in life, we spend time with Him, and then one day we can say, whew, God is good, right? There's a difference between God is good and man, God is so good. Anybody ever experienced that, right? Instead of God is our provider to, whew, man, God was my provider, right? Not just ours in general, but God showed up in my life. Has God ever showed up in anybody's life here? Amen. Yeah, right? We could testify. God has done all those things. So really, we need to make sure that somehow we get from worrying about stuff, from focusing on the bad, and we need to focus upon Jesus, right? It's not what can I do to get through this. It's what is the Lord doing, and how can I trust Jesus to get through this situation, and how is Jesus going to help me? And Lord, I'm not going to go through this alone. I need you, and we pray and we ask Him to help. Right? We need to do that. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. The next part says, tell God what you need. Right? Tell God what you need. These are coming right from the text today. Just talk to Him. Lord, this is what I need. Okay? Lord, you know what I need. And then what do we do? Thank Him for all He's done. We spend time on our need. I think this is important. Try to grasp this here. We spend time on our need, and then it shifts to all the things that He's done. Sometimes we get to the point where all we do is dwell upon our need. And we're saying, Lord, we need this. And we're just rehearsing our need over and over and over again. And then we shift from praying to worrying. And we didn't even get an amen in there. We're like, Lord, help me. I need this. Say, for instance, I need a car. Lord, I need a car. Help me. Man, what am I going to do without a car? I don't know. I guess I need a car. What can I do? I don't know what I can do. Right? And you just shifted and you took your mind off of the Lord. How much better it would be, Lord, I'm not going to worry about it because your shoulders are big enough to worry about it. I'm going to lay it before your feet. Lord, I'm going to ask you as your word says, I need this car. You know I need a car. You know what I need, Lord. I know what you need. You know what I need, rather. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to do this. And now I'm going to think about all the times that you've come through in my life. Right? Now I'm going to thank you for what you've done. Lord, I'm not ungrateful because I'm able to walk. And a lot of people can't even walk. So thank you, Lord, I can do that. Thank you, I have a roof over my head, Lord. Because there's people that don't even have that. Thank you, Lord, even though I don't have a car right now, I'm trusting you for the car and I'm glad that my kids have something to eat. Right? Do you hear me? So don't just spend all your time on your need, because then we can go from praying to worrying really quickly. And we're just dwelling on this stuff. And the title of the message was Control Your Focus. It can be easy to stay on the need. Paul says shift it to what God has done. Why? Because that inspires faith. You need God to come through, and all of a sudden you're saying, God, I need you to come through. And now I'm going to spend time and think about all the times that you have come through. You see that all the time in the Psalms. All the times in the Psalms. The writer of the psalm is going through talking about the problems, and all of a sudden the thoughts shift to what God has done. In fact, so many times it shifted from the problem, David or whatever, feeling like his enemies surround him, then all of a sudden he says, but wait a second. My God is the God who parted the Red Sea. Right? This is nothing compared to the Red Sea. And he says, oh Lord, how good it was when the day you parted the Red Sea and when Pharaoh came up behind to conquer the Egyptians, you smashed them. And David says so many times, Lord, do that to my enemies. Do it again, oh God. Right? He doesn't stay on the need. You look back, you pray to God, you ask Him for what you need, and then you thank Him for what He's done. And all of a sudden, you have a new perspective. All of a sudden, something has shifted in your life because we're not involved in worry, we're involved in worship. Did you see that? We're not looking at worry, we're looking at worship. We go from all the problems to the God who has conquered so much in the past, and today's problem is nothing compared to what He did back then. And we just say simply, God, we completely trust You, do it again. Is this easy? Your heart will probably want to take you back down to worry, and you need to say, nope, we're done. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray and make your request, don't go on and on and on and on and on and on like the pagans do. Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows what you need. When you pray, you don't have to pray in King James. Oh, dearest Heavenly Father, Thou hast given me... If you do, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to do that. That doesn't impress God. It also doesn't have to be an hour and a half long about the stuff that you need. Lord, if you didn't notice down here, the Lord knows. Jesus said, get to the chase, right? How much better when we just, He wants us to tell Him what we need. But how much better when we don't spend all day there and we spend more time praising Him for what He's done? Jesus said, you don't need all these long words. God, you know what I need. I need a car. Don't give me your car. I don't need a car. I'm just saying that for today. Somebody like, I'm going to give him my car. Well, unless it's cool. Then you can. I'll swap. But, you know, Lord, you know my need. You really know. You know where we are as a family. And you can honestly just be honest to the Lord. You can say, Lord, I've been questioning. And I think this really stinks, the problem that I'm in. But also, I trust you. You see the shift? And I know you've been with me before. I know that you've worked in my life. And I have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you for saving me. Right? See the shift? And we go in other places. Tell Him what you need. Thank Him for what you've done. And check this out. And you will experience God's peace. It says, the peace that passes all understanding. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You will experience God's peace. That's good. I need peace from the Lord. Anybody? Like, I need that to get through life, or else the wave of worry will crush you. I need God's peace. And when we stop dwelling upon the problem and we look to the Prince of Peace, then we receive peace, right? The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that we can't understand. The peace that when people will look at you, they will say, I don't even know how you're being so calm right now. It's because Jesus is with me. Has anybody ever said that to anybody here today? That you're going through a hard time and you trusted the Lord, and other people have said, I don't even know how you're holding it together. And your answer is Jesus. Can I see your hands? You know, I know that's happened with you because you've shared, right? People say, I don't even know how you function. It's Jesus. He gives me peace that what guards my heart and my mind in Christ. In other words, look at this. I like to invert Bible verses when possible to kind of get an idea of what would happen if we didn't do this. This is telling me that when we don't pray about it, which we should pray about it again, but if we don't pray about it and we don't thank God for what He's done, you're not going to experience peace, right? And your heart and your mind won't be guarded in Christ Jesus. you're just going to be open for attacks of the enemy in your life. You know? Do you see that? And then what happens? Then depression kicks in. Because the devil will sit on your shoulder, or maybe not the devil per se, but demons or what, I don't know. Forces of darkness. Sit on your shoulder and whisper things like, you know, I don't think you can really trust the Lord. I mean, how could He love you? Look at what you've done. How could God love you? You're despicable, right? Or perhaps it'll be something like this. How do you know it wasn't all in your head? When you thought you felt the Lord's presence, how do you know that wasn't just you? I mean, the Muslims experience something too, don't they? Right? How do you know it wasn't just all you? Do you see that? You're opening yourself up if we don't get to a point of making our mind shift from the problem to the solution. Right? To go from worry to worship. We need to make that change, or else we open up our hearts and minds. And a lot of times we begin to crash at that point. Then we're hopeless. Jesus is our hope. We should never be hopeless, right? We don't go through this life alone. The devil wants to discourage you. Jesus said He comes to lie, cheat, lie, kill, and destroy, right? Jesus said, John 10:10, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Good life. Life that gives you peace, that you can get through anything. Will you have hard times? Yeah. Did Paul have hard times? How dare he tell us not to worry? Well, let's see. He's in prison awaiting capital punishment while he wrote this. Okay? So, he's talking about peace that passes under. He's chained to a wall. You know? I think we can listen to Paul. He's been through hard times. And I tell you what, I want that kind of peace. I don't want the kind of peace that maybe some hippie guy will talk about who's never had a problem in his life, you know, and he just runs through the daisies and eats honey from a honeycomb or something. I want peace from the guy who's had problems and he's experienced Jesus in his life, and I can say if it worked for Paul, it's going to work for me, right? If he could endure shipwrecks and getting beat repeatedly and still get up and go back in the city to preach, I want that kind of peace. I want that kind of presence of the Almighty God in my life. If you're here today and you've been giving in to the lies of the enemy, I want to encourage you to tell God what you need, but to begin to thank Him for what He's done. Begin to thank Him for what He's done. And there's a shift that happens. Let's watch this quick video clip about worry.
Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. What does it mean to commit? When you sit in a chair, you commit your personal safety to that chair. When you drive over a bridge, or put money in a bank, or get on a plane, you are putting your trust in something or someone. The more you trust, the more you are willing to commit. To enter the kingdom of God, we must become like little children. A child completely trusts his parents. We have something more reliable than any parent, more trustworthy than any bank, and more stable than any chair. We have a God who has promised to never leave us or forsake us.
The Lord will uphold you better than the chair you're sitting on. Isn't that good to know? That we can trust Him. We can. Moving on. Number two we're going to see today is control your thoughts. Control your thoughts. Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Number two, fix your thoughts on whatever is true. Truth. Dwell in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dwell upon things that are true. With the analogy of the car. Am I going to die if I don't get a car? No. The Lord is good. So let's stop focusing upon our problems and begin to look at things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are right. Again, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. When we're in depression, and I'm not trying to make light of depression, I'm honestly not today. But when we're depressed, do we have thoughts like any of these? We don't, right? We have thoughts that are suicidal, right? Thoughts that aren't lovely, that aren't admirable, that aren't excellent, they aren't worthy of praise. I say that to say the enemy wants to take us down this dark, dark, dark road that's destructive. Jesus wants to take us in the other complete opposite direction. When you're at a dark place, when you can't think of things that are lovely and admirable and honorable, right and pure, like some things that could be would be your kids. When you're as an adult, as a parent, and you're down and out, and you think this is the end of life, first of all, let me say this, okay? If you're at a place where you think, you know what, it'd be better if I wasn't even here anymore. And if you think it'd just be better if maybe I just died. Can I tell you something, okay? So many people have said that if you think that, you're not saved. If you ever have a thought like that, there's no way the Spirit of God could be with you. And today, I would like to say that that's an outright lie. It's not true. To say, if you're a Christian, you should never have a thought like that. I would say whoever preached that really needs to read the Psalms. Because David suffered with depression at times in his life. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Psalm 13. If you have your Bibles, flip there. So many pastors, listen, TV pastors, they're not all bad. A lot of them are, though. Don't get your theology from the TV guy. He wants your offering. Okay? He wants your money. Not all of them. A lot of them, though. And you'll never hear a message that it's okay to fear this, to feel this way. This is the message you'll hear. If you'll send your seed gift, we'll take Visa, MasterCard, American Express. The Lord's telling me somebody has $1,000. Oh, and it might be you. I got a feeling. Come on, there's a blessing around the corner, right? And your feelings of doubt will be gone and you'll be filled with joy that conquered, blah, blah, blah. I could do it if I wanted to. I'll send you this special book that will change your life for $150. Like, why shouldn't it be free, right? Look at Psalm 13. Oh, Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? David already began saying, I feel like God's forgotten me. I feel like God isn't even looking at me anymore. Verse 2, how long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat saying we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. David is so heavy-hearted at this point. He's also known as what? The man after God's own heart. Okay? The man after God's own heart. So I want to say when you're feeling dark, when you're feeling down, that doesn't mean Jesus has forgotten you. In fact, sometimes you're just feeling down because it could be a biological thing. If you don't have enough rest, you're exhausted, we feel down. Sometimes it could be a spiritual attack. Sometimes it could just be the burdens in your life are big. That just means turn to Jesus. Look at the last verse here. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because He is good to me. That last verse, to me, that illustrates the past, present, and future of the Lord. In the present tense, He says, I trust in your love. For the past, you've rescued me in the past. I've seen God where I've been before. And I rejoice in that. And looking towards the future, I will sing, for the Lord is good to me. He goes from worry to worship. Do you see that? So if you're feeling down at times or whatever, even today, don't think that God has forgotten you and that you can't possibly be saved. That's not true at all. I just showed you that from David. He wrote the Bible, okay? He wrote the Bible saying, God, I feel like I'm going to die. What's up here? Trust in the Lord. Think about things that are admirable and all those other things. What could they be? Again, it could be your family, it could be your kids. But even if you're at a place where it's so dark and you can't even think positively about those things, again, go from your problems to Jesus and begin to think about Him. Christ is true, isn't He? Isn't Christ honorable? Isn't He right? Man, He is so righteous, pure. The Lord is lovely. He's admirable. He is excellent. He is most definitely worthy of praise. Again, even if you can't think of good things in your life that the Lord has blessed you, just shift to Jesus, and He'll lift you up. Amen? Is this easy? No, these are the three not so easy steps, but you can do it. And in fact, it may begin like this. Lord, it sounded good in church. I don't think I can do this. Give me strength to change my focus. Right? And the Lord will begin to answer you. Right? Give me strength, Lord, to kill my worry and focus on You. Give me strength to control my thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That was Romans 12:2. God wants to change the way you think. This world has a set of standards that says if you're not at this level in your life, you've missed out on life. If you don't own this, this, and this by this certain age, you're not a success. If your kids aren't going to these particular Ivy League schools, you didn't do a good job as a parent, right? All these kind of things. If you don't have this certain amount of income, or you don't have this car, or whatever, you can constantly compare yourself to the world. The Lord wants to change the way we think. Because it's not about us, it's about Him, right? It's not about what I've accomplished in life. It's about Jesus. I need to get my mind off of me and put it on Him. Right? I need to get my mind off my problems. Tell Him what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. Dwell upon all the things that are good, righteous, lovely. Think about Him. Is that good so far? Kill your worry. Control your thoughts. Very practical today. Number three. Kill your worry. Control your thoughts. And we're on the same slide. Here we go. Live out your faith. Look at number 9. Live out your faith. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. God of peace. Do we see that? It says the God of peace. And right in verse 7, we said His peace that passes all understanding. We want peace. This is like the peace sandwich, right? Okay. Keep putting into practice all that you saw me do. Follow Paul's example. He says again, all that you learned from me and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, follow his example. Actually do what you're supposed to do. James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Let me read this passage for you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? How can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing? What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have any good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith and you believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that good deeds or faith without good deeds is useless? Wow. Faith without good deeds, faith without works is dead. Didn't we just the other week preach that faith was enough? Right? Here's the gist that James is saying, and it's not a contradiction at all. James is saying, let's use this analogy. Let's say that I claim to love my wife. And I say I love my wife. And I don't treat her good at all. I treat her terrible. Let's say I call her names. I never help with anything. I demand her to bring me my soda and pizza while I'm watching a game. When she's upset, I don't go to her and comfort her. I don't give her a hug. She's my slave, right? I'm king, lord of the house. Does my action show that I love my wife? Some of you grew up in homes like this. Do your actions show that you really love your wife? Would it show that? No. Because truth is, if I treated my wife like that, I probably wouldn't love her. You know? That's what James is saying. If we say we have faith and we love the Lord, your life should be different. Right? It's not that you do good stuff to go to heaven. But if you really trust Jesus, it just looks different. It's just natural. If I really love my wife, I wouldn't smack her to tell her to be quiet. That's not loving my wife, is it? Right? If I really love my wife, I would treat her well. I would treat her as Christ treats the church. Right? So if we really love Jesus, our lives just look different because we really love Jesus, right? If we really have faith in God, it just affects our life. James says you can sometimes talk, but it just really does affect you. And if your life is the same exact as it was before Jesus and nothing changes, like your sin list is still the same, and you don't even feel bad about it, and you're still walking contrary to what God wants you to do, and you don't even hardly pray about it anymore, you're just fine, then there's something wrong. We need to watch how we live. That's part of this passage. And it changes us. Again, it's not that we're saved because we do stuff. It's not that. But Paul does say, keep putting into practice all you've heard. Watch how you live. Do what you live. You know? Mean what you say. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. Right? See, here's the deal, too. We can worry about stuff, we can let our thoughts run wild, and even when we try to bring it together, Paul, and I think this is the direction too, is that you need to just begin to do what you're supposed to do with the Lord. Just live the Christian life. Just live the Christian life. You know, it's not a list of rules, it's not religious stuff, it's just, I'm going to live with Jesus and I'm going to walk with you, Lord. And we can't say, Lord, I believe that you love me and I know that you're my provider, but I'm not going to trust in you. No, we're going to say, Lord, we're going to trust in you. And we can be honest and say, God, it's scary, but I'm going to trust in you because you're good. You know? And the other thing, the devil wants you to live contrary to the Lord. When we get into a place of depression and worry, a lot of times you'll find yourself reacting, doing things you know that aren't godly. Your temptations will come up in your life and take you away from the Lord. The words you begin to say will be wrong. Right? Your actions won't line up. You'll lash out in anger at somebody when you know you shouldn't. And you know you should ask for forgiveness, and yet you won't want to. Like, whoever really wants to ask for forgiveness, you know? What Paul is saying, if you do that, ask for forgiveness if you lash out at somebody. If you find yourself tempted, that means this is a spiritual thing and you need to come back to Jesus. Watch how you live. Watch how you live. Truth is, our lifestyle will follow our thoughts. If we're dwelling upon the negative, you know, we're going to start living negative things. That's why Paul says control your thoughts. So, that's the practical side of this. Control your thoughts. You know, kill your worry, control your thoughts, live out your faith. There was a family that was awakened by their smoke detector in the middle of the night. They discovered their house was on fire. The father ran upstairs to the bedroom of his children. He carried his 18-month-old baby in his arms while dragging his 4-year-old son by the hand out of the burning house. When they were halfway down the stairs, the little boy remembered his teddy bear, pulled from his father and ran back up. In the confusion of ducking the flames, somehow the father didn't notice. When he was outside with the baby in his hands, he heard his son screaming from the second floor, "Daddy, Daddy, help me!" Then the father yelled from below, "Jump out the window, son! I'm here, I'll catch you!" The son yelled, "Dad, I can't see you!" The father yelled, "That's okay, son, I can see you. Jump." We need to trust our Heavenly Father. You may be in a dark situation in your life where you kind of feel like you're like this kid, that the house is on fire. You don't have much time. And I want you to know your Heavenly Father will catch you today. You can trust Him. He will catch you. Jump into His hands. Trust Him. Trust Him. That's good to know. Trust Him. Don't dwell upon your problems. Trust Him. A.W. Tozer said this, "If only we would stop lamenting and look up. God is here. Christ is risen. The Spirit has been poured out from on high. All this we know is theological truth. It remains for us to turn it into joyous spiritual experience." He's like, we got it up here. We know God is here. We know Christ is risen. We know the Spirit has been poured out upon the church. We got it here. And he says it remains for us to turn it into joyous spiritual experience. Dwell upon Him. Control your focus. Control your focus. It's really this. It's really Christ versus your circumstances, isn't it? It's really Christ versus your circumstances. The letter I is always found in the middle of anxiety. When you're worried, the letter I is right there in the middle. Perhaps the I is me worrying about stuff. Let's look at Christ. You can tell the size of your God by looking at your worry list. You can tell the size of your God by looking at your worry list. The longer your worry list, the smaller your God. My God's big, right? The longer your list of worries, the smaller your view of God. Oh, how much better to dwell upon God again. I think the progression is so good here. Pray about your need, but then to begin to dwell upon what He's done. And who He is, and the things that are lovely and admirable, and make sure you're living what you're talking about, and who you should be in Christ, and the Lord will help you through your worry. And then your God gets bigger. Not like God really gets bigger, but in your heart, you begin to have more faith, and you begin to trust Him. Amen? And also, last thing, get into the Word. Get into the Word. The Bible says that faith comes by reading the Word. When you're down and you're worried and you're depressed, anybody feel like reading the Bible? Right? Well, good. I'm glad. But sometimes that can be very difficult, right? Even if you don't even feel like reading the Bible, read the Bible. be very transparent with you. The other night, I was just feeling down. You know, a few nights ago. I mean, I don't know. I just was. And I sat there with my Bible, and I didn't feel like reading it. I'm the pastor, right? I thought pastors always feel like reading the Bible. I was just feeling down. And I said, Lord, I don't even think I have the strength to read and comprehend. But I'm going to trust you. And I ask for you to help me. And I began to just open up the Bible. Lamentations of all places. I don't know if that's the best place to read. But to be honest with you, Lamentations 1 and 2 just blessed me. It just blessed me. And the Lord spoke to me. And all of a sudden, I felt the shift from being upon me. And I went from worry to worship. I went from my circumstances to my Christ. And things changed in about a 15, 20 minute time. Were my problems the same? Yeah. But all of a sudden, my view of God increased and I knew I could face those problems. Whereas the devil wanted me to think it's hopeless, the Lord says, with me and Him, we can do anything. Amen? So I want to encourage you, get into your Word. Trust God. Three not so easy steps. Kill your worry. Don't spend all day on your worry. Pray, Lord, I prayed. You know what it is? I'm done. Now I'm going to think about You. Thank Him for what He's done. Move on. Think about things that are good and watch your lifestyle. Watch your lifestyle. When you begin to trip up, just say, Lord, help me. I want to live for You. Right? I don't want to turn into something I'm not. I want to live for You. When you slip up, repent of your sin and move on with God. Don't just let things fall apart. That's not going to help. And then I think we can win this battle against anxiety. To be honest with you, I think we can. Is it easy? No, but with Christ, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? We're going to go ahead and pray. Praise You, Lord Jesus. We love You today. Father God, we worship You. We thank You, Lord, that You are the God that can overcome our anxiety. You're the God who can overcome our worry, and we live to glorify You today. Help us, Lord, to live for You always. Praise Your name. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know Him. This God loves you so much. This Jesus lived the perfect life that I could not live and that you could not live. And He died on the cross, paid the price of sin, and rose from the dead to prove it to the world. If you don't have a relationship with Him, this isn't going to mean a whole lot for you today. If you don't know Him, I want to pray with you and give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. To ask Him to forgive you, that you would begin this new life with Him, and you would begin to have the peace, and the God of peace would be with you. If that's you today, just slip up your hand and I want to pray with you. I'm not going to call you out, but I just want to know if I should lead us in a time of prayer, of dedication to the Lord today. I see that hand. Anyone else today? Anyone else? Well, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I love You. You know that I've messed up. And You've seen my sin. I pray that You would forgive me of my sin. Because of what You did on the cross. There is forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And I thank You that You took the punishment for my sin. And You rose from the dead. Wash me clean. Fill me with Your Spirit. And help me to live for You. And give me Your peace. Help me to fully understand what it means to be a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.